Well, Christmas is coming. Is this a holy time of the year, a great season to celebrate the birth of the Savior and to proclaim it to the world? Or is this just a borrowing from paganism and an excuse for materialism and greed?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, once a year, for some years now, we hold a Christmas debate. So this is our annual Christmas debate here on The Line of Fire. There are many believers who are passionate about Christmas, passionate about this time of the year. It's a wonderful family time, a wonderful time to celebrate Jesus, a wonderful time to do outreach to the world. And they hear the constant effort in the society and the world to, quote, remove Christ from Christmas, and they are passionate about this being a Jesus time of the year. There are other believers who are equally passionate, and they say that December 25th has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus, that December 25th is borrowed from paganism, that just about everything about the day has pagan borrowings, and after all, in our culture, it's just materialism and greed and selfishness. What does this have to do with Jesus? Plus, Santa Claus, I mean, where does he come from? Anyway, this is your day on The Line of Fire, where you get to share your views, where you get to raise your points, pro or con. What about Hanukkah? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. After all, didn't Jesus celebrate Hanukkah? Don't we have indications of that? In John, the 10th chapter, wouldn't his disciples, all Jews, celebrated Hanukkah? So maybe we should just do what Jesus and his disciples did, or some argue that he may have been born at the time of Tabernacles and we should celebrate his birth during Tabernacles. Others would say, come on, there is so much hostility in the world to this time of the year and Xmas instead of Christmas and Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Can't you see the devil is trying to remove Christ from Christmas? What's your take? 866-34-TRUTH. Should we celebrate Christmas as followers of Jesus, yes or no, is it different for Jewish believers versus Gentile believers? 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. In fact, if you want to get into a good debate, go over to townhall.com. Moments ago, they posted my article, Was Christ Ever in Christmas? And townhall.com, a great place to get into a debate with believers and non-believers. Rick Perry recently came out with an ad, a very bold ad in Iowa. And in this ad, he made clear that he was unashamed of his Christian beliefs and mentioned Christmas as well. Let's listen to this ad.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian. But you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school. As president, I'll end Obama's war on religion, and I'll fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage. Faith made America strong. It can make her strong again. I'm Rick Perry, and I approve this message.
So here's Rick Perry talking about gays serving openly in the military, and our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas in their schools. I mean, you hear about nativity scenes being removed. Here, how about this? Beltway Confidential reported a couple days back, congressmen can't say Merry Christmas in mail. Looks like the PC police have threatened members of the House of Representatives against writing a greeting to their constituents, writing Merry Christmas if they want to do so in a mailing paid with tax dollars. So what do you think? Should we celebrate Christmas? Is this purely a personal issue? Is this something we should be concerned about as believers? Growing up in a Jewish home in New York City, then Long Island, obviously Christmas was not a sacred day of the year for us, but sometimes still a fun time of exchanging presents, and the holiday that would have been celebrated would have been Hanukkah. I personally haven't had a problem with the Happy Holidays greeting growing up Jewish, but it's Happy Holidays a way of getting rid of saying Merry Christmas because Christ is in it. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls. We'll have at it today.
Came to work.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, it is time for our debate to commence. Should we, as followers of Jesus, celebrate Christmas? There are folks with passionate views on both sides, others who are indifferent. One of our most regular commenters, posters on the Line of Fire blog is a fellow named Bo. He is very much advocating that all believers should follow the Torah. At times I have told him that his position was extreme or dangerous, but I always appreciate his devotion to the Word and his devotion to the Lord and his zealous posting. Well, he posted something earlier today on our Line of Fire website that I will read to you in a moment, unless he calls in to sing it, called Jingle Balls. Oh yeah, Jingle Balls, or Baals, depending on how you pronounce it, as in Baal, Baal, the false god, the idol in ancient Israel. Our friend Bo is not a proponent of Christmas, but since he posted it so much on it already today, I figured I'd mention him by name in case he's listening. Encourage him to, yeah, come on in. Call in, sing it. We'll be glad to hear it. Yes or no, should we celebrate Christmas? I'm going to read the poem to you in a little while, but I'm going to give him a moment just in case he calls to sing it to us. All right, let's start on the pro side. Matt in Bayonne, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
So I guess I didn't realize it was going to be a form of debate, but all I know is I'm going to go to Christmas Mass. I'm going to go to Mass on Wednesday night. I don't think there should be any doctrinal procedure or doctrinal standing on whether or not you have to do anything. For me, Christmas is every day, and Easter is every day. Every day Christ is born, every day Christ is resurrected. So I don't really care as far as legalistic saying what you have to do and what you should do. I believe, so, you know, I don't really get caught up in the whole put the Christ back in Christmas thing because I doesn't. I mean, I don't know. People who believe, believe. People who don't. I mean, I'm not going to force
people. And
to
so
do
it's
anything.
No concern to you if people say, well, he wasn't born on December 25th or December 25th.
No, I don't care if he was born today, tomorrow. He's born every day to me. He's born every day, and he dies every day for me.
All right, so you celebrate his birth and resurrection every day. All right, hey, thanks for calling in, Matt. Appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Tom in Enid, Oklahoma, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, nice to hear from you.
Well, thanks. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you very much. Well, my position is it's immaterial. It's kind of a matter of conscience, as Romans 14 talks about. One person esteems one day better, one person doesn't. I don't think there's really a debate in the sense that we need to be up in arms over one side. Yes, God demands we observe Christmas, or no, it's pagan. I think it's more immaterial than that. But can I just say something about the arguments against Christmas real quick?
Sure, please.
From my experience interacting with the arguments, it seems like they all engage in either misunderstanding, misrepresenting, or the genetic fallacy when it comes to what they have to say about Christmas. I was reading recently on your website where you were debating with the Jewish rabbi over the worship of Jesus and whether or not we were, as Christians, worshiping the form or the person.
Sure.
The Christmas debate seems to reflect that same kind of spirit a lot, where the anti-Christmas crusaders, I believe, tend to misunderstand or misrepresent what those who celebrate Christmas are doing. And then as far as the genetic fallacy, I would just point out that the pagan roots of Christmas, so-called, that people want to bring up, a lot of those are just unsubstantiated from my personal research into it. It's real easy to say, well, this came before this other thing over here, therefore it must be related. But I would just point out that the pagans had temples before the Hebrews built theirs. Does that mean that the Hebrew temple was pagan? I don't think those connections are tenable.
Right. So the fact that you can find pagan parallels for many things that we do today, or pagan parallels to ideas of, say, a dying and resurrecting God, or pagan parallels to the birth account of Moses, that doesn't mean we discount those things. Pagan parallels exist. Others would argue, yeah, the origins are pagan, but this has now been redeemed for the glory of God. And the question can be raised, does any day on the calendar belong to the devil? Hey, Tom, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's get someone on the other side of the debate here, and then I'm going to read that poem to you, Jingle Balls or Jingle Bales. I guess it's better pronounced like that for the poem. Hazel in Rockland County, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I used to celebrate Christmas, actually, and a few days ago, like about a week or two ago, I actually went online, and I was checking, doing a bit of search on it, and I was amazed to find out, like I've heard all the time, that it's pagan, and now that I see it has absolutely nothing to do with Christ, I am telling others, and I don't believe that Christians should celebrate it. I really don't, because it has absolutely nothing to do with Christ. It's a pagan holiday celebrating winter solstice and their sun and fire god, not our Jesus, the Messiah.
So what about the idea? Yeah, that's what the day was. That's where it started. But then many pagans were getting saved, and the church wanted to have a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And since this was this big pagan holiday, the church took it over and redeemed it. You don't buy that argument?
I totally don't, because the Word of God says, shun even the very appearance of evil. And when you go to the root of it, it is still not of God. And in the Bible, God never told us to celebrate his birth. And when studies have been done, it has shown that he was born in the fall. I wouldn't like it if someone come months after and tell me happy birthday. But we're not told to celebrate it. As far as I know, the only people who celebrated their birthdays were Herod and Pharaoh. They represent self.
Got it. All right. Hey, Hazel, I appreciate you weighing in. Thank you for calling. And I want to encourage everyone, ultimately, to be true to their conviction. What Hazel just mentioned is something that Jehovah's Witnesses would often mention, which is why they don't celebrate birthdays, because the only mention of birthdays in the Bible with Pharaoh and Herod were negative and selfish. And because of that, we don't want to celebrate birthdays. Others would say, these were negative, selfish men. So what happened is mention their birthday. Of course, that's the case. But I was getting a haircut on Saturday and witnessing to the gal cutting my hair. Her name was Miriam, and she lives in North Carolina now, but had lived in New York for some years. We were talking about lots of things. I didn't have any hint she was a believer or a religious background. As we talk further, it turns out that she was raised Jehovah's Witness and still identified as Jehovah's Witness, based on which I knew that she would not celebrate Christmas or even birthdays. So as I was leaving, I said, well, have a great non-holiday season with a smile. If you say we shouldn't celebrate it, do you find it necessary to have something important for your family to do at least some times of the year for spiritual or religious purposes? Do you find that there's something lacking if you don't gather together in that particular way? What about godly traditions or seasons and times of the year that can be commemorated together as families? What about the fact that this is used as a great time of outreach to the world with Christmas presentations and things like that, celebrating the birth of Jesus? Or again, would you say, well, there may be some nice Christian truth. We can do that another time of the year. Why enter into the materialism and carnality of this time of the year and associate the Savior's birth with some pagan celebration? 866-34-TRUTH. Reverend Bruce on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
God bless you. First of all, I am observing both the Christmas and Hanukkah. As a matter of fact, my website says Happy Hanukkah Christmas and Facebook page. I'd like to answer very briefly the lady Hazel that called. Everything in the Christmas holiday does have a link to something of Christ. For instance, the wreath represents the eternal ring, the eternal God. The green in the tree represents everlasting life. Cutting down the tree and putting it up represents his resurrection. Santa Claus was really Saint Nick, who gave out toys to poor children in his village. Christmas, though, I know it was during the time of the fall when I went to Israel. I learned that from my tour guide. The shepherds was out, so it had to be the fall. We don't really know the exact date, even if it is the fall. He was honored. His birthday was honored by the simple fact that the three kings of Orient came to visit him when he was 2 years old, and mm-hmm. the shepherds came to see him as well. They brought him gifts. Yes, his birthday was on it. The Bible doesn't say anything about not celebrating at all. There's nothing there in the Bible. Now, mm-hmm. it's up to you. I have no conviction in celebrating the day that we choose to observe his birth, though it's not the exact date, grant you that, but nobody knows. And it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. We are observing the fact that he came to die for us, and if it wasn't for that event, we would be lost eternally. So I do believe in acknowledging Hanukkah. It is a historical holiday. Jesus celebrated. There's a scripture in John.
Yeah,
about,
hey, tell you what,
Hanukkah.
Reverend Bruce, we got to run, but thanks for weighing in so comprehensively and in such a short period of time. Important point she makes, the birth of Jesus is celebrated in the scriptures. Why shouldn't we celebrate it at least sometime? Thank you.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I'm really surprised with this so far. There are people that get so passionate against celebrating Christmas, so passionate that it's pagan, so passionate that Christians have no business participating in this, so passionate that Christians shouldn't have Christmas trees, and on and on. And yet, the overwhelming number of calls coming in thus far, and even people posting on my Facebook page at Ask Dr. Brown, are saying, yeah, we should celebrate Christmas, or others just saying, well, either way, don't make a big deal out of it. I'm not trying to provoke an argument, but if you're out there, this is your day where you get to weigh in, 866-34-TRUTH. And if you are calling to say yes, give me a good reason why, all right? Give me a good reason why in terms of significance of this in your own life or significance of this in your own family or something positive and spiritual. 866-34-TRUTH. But first, the other side of the argument, as kindly posted by Bo on our Line of Fire website. So if you're looking for this, it is askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for today's show. Now, the proper pronunciation of B-A-A-L in Hebrew is Baal. Many people pronounce it Baal in English. I assume pronouncing it Baal will work better here. So this is Baal, Baal, as in the Canaanite false god. I'm not going to sing it. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Nimrod's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Jingle bells, jingle Dagon's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Going with the flow in a pagan sort of way. To the malls we go, not on the narrow way. Bales on everything, we think we're really bright. What fun it is to laugh and sin, not caring what is right. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Krishna's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Bacchus's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. My pagan relatives, what will they think of me if I don't go along with churchianity? Traditions of mere men replacing scripture's rules, but what could be the lasting harm of joining in with fools? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Vishnu's way. They've got enough gods to play with here. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Zeus's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Though almost everything in Christmas is from Baal, they have been redeemed. Now they're not from hell. I've been set free and now can celebrate the pagan days and rituals my lust to satiate. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Mithra's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Diana's way. Oh, it's fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Now, do not bother me with scripture quotes and facts. I will not change my mind. I follow culture's tracks. The wide road is so smooth. What bliss and peace it hath. Why should I miss all the fun traveling the narrow path? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle the Pope's way, worshiping a vanity, in vanity, keeping a Christian day. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Antichrist's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. No, those are not my sentiments. Those are the sentiments of one of our most frequent posters on the Line of Fire website. What do you think of that? What's your take? Mary in Jersey City, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yes, you know, personally, I think it's the heart that matters. If, you know, like when Paul was speaking to the Christians about the issue of eating food sacrificed to idols and all that, he said, he spoke about the conscience. So if somebody, if somebody's conscience tells them that they, you know, because of the pagan connections, they don't want to celebrate it, then they shouldn't. If somebody else feels that it's fine and they don't have any, they know that they're not celebrating any pagan god, but they're celebrating Jesus, they should feel free to do it without anybody else, you know, telling them that they shouldn't. You know, for example, if a Muslim person becomes a disciple of Jesus and they don't want to celebrate Christmas, that's fine. But, you know, I just want to mention also that in the Old Testament, when they spoke of the tithe, one of the tithe had three purposes. It was 10%, you know, in 1 year it went all to the priest. In 2 other years, part of it went to the priest, whatever the person decided to give. The another part went to the poor, and another part was used to celebrate their relationship with God in any way they chose. So if Christians want to use part of their earnings every year to celebrate their relationship with Christ and to give gifts to each other, that's fine. And I think that it's perfectly biblical, you know, when it comes, you know, if we really want to look at the whole purpose of the tithe, as long as they're given to the church and given to the poor. But if they want to use this and go on vacation, go skiing, give gifts, they should be
feel free to do it. Got it. All right. Hey, Mary, thank you for weighing in, and have a blessed Christmas yourself. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Lois in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me on, sir.
You're welcome.
I basically just, I'm not a person who's so passionate about don't do this, unless I actually know that God said it. Here's what I'd just like to ask. Why is it that we always can say I don't really believe.
Hey, tell you what, Lois, I don't know if you've got me on speakerphone or what, but Dwight, just check in with Lois so we can get her back on. I want to hear what you have to say, but we're getting an echo or feedback or something. Sean in Fresno, California, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me on the line. I was just laughing at the jingle bales. If we're celebrating bales, then obviously Christians shouldn't celebrate Christmas, but we're not celebrating winter solstice or any of the, you know, pagan gods. You know, Christmas means celebration of the Christ. So, I mean, that's the word Christ mask, celebration of the Christ, celebration of the anointed one. I'm not hung up necessarily on the idea that the government has to support Christmas or recognize the birth of Christ or anything, as long as it doesn't affect my personal worship. But I think that Christians should definitely take advantage of the time of the year where people are especially receptive to hear about Jesus. I mean, right now, when you go around and ask people what the meaning of the season is, a lot of people have no idea, but then some people, it's the only time of year that they're actually thinking about it. I mean, for instance, I go out and I witness or hand out tracts. Usually people will turn them down or, you know, say no thank you. You know, sometimes they'll take them, but when you go out to Christmas Tree Lane or something where people are walking around, you hand out a Christmas tract, say Merry Christmas, 100% of the time people take it with a smile.
Right, so there's so much that, more openness. You know, yeah, much more openness at this time of the year and something to seize on. Hey, I got to jump in, Sean. We've got a break. But that's an important point. I mean, is this a greater time to witness and share the gospel? Is there more openness to it? Are people more receptive to the idea that God sent the Savior into the world? Or are they more receptive because it's a worldly season? 866-34-TRUTH. Tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to be interviewing Professor Craig Kaner for 2 hours on his new book, Miracles. We have a wonderful resource. It's a 24-hour class that I did in 16 lectures on the subject of divine healing. Is healing for today? What does the scripture say? What's the vocabulary of healing? What are pitfalls? What are misunderstandings? Together with my full-length academic work, Israel's Divine Healer, the series is normally discounted to $50 for the CD with the entire class, plus my book. You can get them all this week for just $30. Postage paid. So anyone with an interest in the subject of healing, take advantage of this. Call today, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Toronto. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Remember, you can go over to townhall.com where I posted an article, Was Christ Ever in Christmas? And I mentioned the annual debate we have here on the Line of Fire broadcast. And I list five primary arguments that people give as to why we shouldn't celebrate Christmas, and five primary arguments that people bring as to why we should celebrate Christmas. If you want to get into what will certainly be a feisty debate, that's a good place to go, townhall.com. Look for my article up today, or on our website, or actually our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask D.R. Brown. Is there an effort from the world in the society to take Christ out of Christmas and to have Xmas instead of Christmas, to say Happy Holidays rather than Merry Christmas? Major stores that do tons of business with Christmas shopping and they want to say Happy Holidays instead, or talk about Kwanzaa as if this is some historic day celebrated by hundreds of millions of people around the world. Or are Christians so caught up with the culture of the day, so caught up with dead church tradition, that they have not become sensitive to what matters to the Lord and are entering into a worldly celebration in Jesus' name? That's some of the debate. I'll share my perspective at the end of the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Roy in the Bronx, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Roy.
Oh yes. Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Yeah, Roy Tambor. Let me ask you one thing. Do you know of a day in the week that was not celebrated by pagans?
Ah, yeah. I mean, every day had some pagan association with it
Sunday,
on some level or another.
Monday, yep. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we should not observe the Sabbath, one, and we should not go to church on Sunday. So all of us Christians should just find a hole and bury ourselves, because pagans have taken all the day.
Ah.
Good.
Yes, yeah, so Roy, you raised the big question. Does Satan own any day? Is there any day of the year, any day of the week that Satan owns, or does God own every one of them? And God is the Redeemer, and no matter what something started as, originally started as God's day, yes, Satan tried to steal it. We're simply taking it back. Hey, Roy, I appreciate the point, man. Appreciate you weighing in. What do you think of that? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, some of you'd say, well, no, you're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole point. I mean, it's all the customs and all the traditions and all that pagan stuff, and that's the big deal. Okay, well then, call in and make your point. That's why we have talk radio. David in Miami, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, David. Are you there? David is gone. Kevin in Rockville, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Kevin.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. Actually, I wanted to preface it by saying that I'm basically for Christmas, but like you, I was raised Jewish, and I became a Christian about 7 or 8 years ago. And I just remember that we used to celebrate Christmas, you know, in terms of Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff. And I guess my big issue is that I think that probably a lot of people, that's what they think of Christmas as being.
Well, yeah, so you're saying that there was just a superficial celebration, excuse to give gifts and that kind of thing. There was nothing spiritual associated with it.
It's done in a spirit of materialism and, you know, it's all about the presents and Santa Claus
Got
and
it.
All this stuff.
All right, so what's the approach then? Thanks, Kevin. For those that celebrated unto the Lord, what do you do differently?
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire broadcast today. Just looking at some of the posts on our Facebook page and on The Line of Fire page. The discussion is heating up as expected. Yes or no? Should we celebrate Christmas as followers of Jesus? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Ron in Ontario, Canada, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thanks, Dr. Brown, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, like your previous caller, I was raised Jewish, so I, needless to say, I didn't honor Christmas. A few years ago, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I consider myself now a Messianic Jew, mm-hmm. or a Hebrew Christian, whichever works. But I have a problem with honoring Christmas, Dr. Brown, principally because I don't believe anywhere in the Bible that God actually told us when his son was born.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't actually give us a physical date when his son was born. Jesus came into the world in a very inconspicuous nature, born in a cave and without a whole lot of fanfare. And I believe that the Christmas season has gotten to a point where your callers have already mentioned one of total materialistic value, and that the Christ in Christmas has been all but forgotten, except for a few that go to church on the Sunday morning. And I just cannot honor the date for those reasons.
Got it. All right. Hey, Ron, thanks for weighing in. I will let others respond to some of your concerns, but thanks, sir, for weighing in, and glad to know another Jewish follower of Jesus is in the fold. 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think of what Ron had to say? Suzanne in the Bronx. All right, we lost Suzanne. Let's go to JR in Framingham, Massachusetts. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mike, for letting me review my thoughts to everyone.
Go
for it.
It's
actually kind of interesting to hear everybody say, but I actually celebrated Christmas and Three Kings Day. And it's actually, it was funny because my father would share the stories how in Puerto Rico, his father would take hay, put it underneath the bed to feed the camels that would come. And it's actually kind of funny to actually just have that childhood situation come in there. His memories would come alive when he would remember catching his father doing that. But I don't think that was the real reason behind it. I think it was just a way that our parents would write it in our hearts so that we can pay to remember, not just per se the actual day, because everybody knows and has researched that it is not the day, but it's great to have a day to actually say, wow, remember Jesus was born on and was given to us so that we can have this life that we now have. I mean, I think that, to me, is amazing to have a day where you, not just Puerto Rico, but almost around the world, if you can actually take a look at it, you can see people are celebrating it. And, yeah, some of us for the wrong reasons, but people are actually taking the time to say and trying to research who Jesus is. And I think that's the importance of it right there in my
Got it.
Let's remember what it is.
All right. Hey, JR, thank you, sir, for weighing in. So look, just because the world gets worldly, just because people go crazy with buying presents and doing things like that, does that mean that we don't celebrate the sacredness of the season? Now, let me say this. There are plenty of Jewish believers in particular. They get saved, have a real hard time at these times of the year. And it just seems very churchy and very foreign to them. And they would much rather celebrate Hanukkah, and they would much rather commemorate the birth of Jesus in other ways. And for them, I remember one woman told me, as a Jewish believer in the church, that she struggled at this time of the year, and she was just told, no, you just have to kind of get into it. You just have to kind of feel, embrace the Christmas spirit. She's like, this is foreign to me. This is just foreign. This is different. So I'm very sensitive to that. On the other hand, just because people get materialistic and greedy at this time of the year doesn't mean that in the church world this is not a great time to sing the wonderful choruses, and hymns, the joy to the world, and come let us adore him, and to reread those marvelous passages in the first couple of chapters of Matthew and the first couple of chapters of Luke. That's a lot of material there, recounting and celebrating his birth. So why not? Again, just giving both sides of the argument here. 866-34-TRUTH. Calvin in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, good afternoon. I was calling. At one time, I worshiped Christmas, but I no longer worship Christmas. As I began to examine the scriptures and find out that we didn't get involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Bible does somewhat tell when Jesus was born, and it centers around the feast, to God's time clock to the world.
All right, so that you would argue that perhaps Jesus was born at the time of tabernacles, and that's when he tabernacled among us?
That's correct. I would say, number one, the signs were given that, number one, they should not dwell in a house at the Feast of Tabernacles, which you know and understand, you know, that you had to at least have a hole in the top of your roof, or that's, I believe, why the sukkah in which he was born in had a hole cut within it, so the star would be able to shine down onto the babe at that particular time. But it just, you know, a few signs that are there that gives a little bit more detail. You know,
all right, so you don't believe he was born in a stable then? You believe he was born in a sukkah, in a tabernacle? Okay. So in your mind, the biggest thing would be that God already gave us a calendar, and that
Correct.
He gave the calendar to the Jewish people, but then it was something that was continued to be recognized in the church. That's why Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5 about the Passover and things like that, because they knew the calendar. So why are we
Correct.
Coming up with new days and other customs? Hey, Calvin, thank you, sir, for weighing in, raising those issues. 866-34-TRUTH. If we already have a calendar, why are we adding other days? Why are we borrowing pagan days? And why are we picking the wrong time of the year? If we're going to celebrate his birth, let's celebrate it in conjunction with one of the holy days that already exists. Gail in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
Sure thing.
I have kind of a different twist on Christmas, and first of all, my husband and I are Messianic believers, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that is, we are Jews that believe in Jesus Christ. And we have, like, menorahs in our house and everything, and we light candles and that sort of thing. But when we do a tree, it's not a Christmas tree, but it's like a seasonal tree.
I understand.
In other words, we don't put like the Christmas balls and all that stuff on it. What we do is we have artificial birds, and we put the birds in the tree and pine cones and stuff like that. And it's like a seasonal tree. It's something that's nature. But my husband and I, when we celebrate Christmas, I have a tape of Handel's Messiah, and we watch that. And we have the Nativity story, and we watch that. My husband and I can't go to church because of allergies. We can't
uh-huh.
come in contact. I have severe multi-chemical sensitivity, so I can't go there. But, you know, we read the Bible to one another and stuff like that. There is some gift giving to the grandchildren and that sort of thing. But it's in the memory of the Magi that gave gifts to Jesus Christ. So,
all right, so you find as Jewish followers of Jesus that this is still a sacred time of the year, and that it has certain meaning, and that there's commemoration in it, and you don't find it in competition with the rest of the biblical calendar. You find it as an addition to the biblical calendar.
Absolutely. My husband and I honestly and truly believe that every day is the Lord's Day, and
mm-hmm.
we listen to Christian radio every single day. We map out a time of at least 2 hours to sit down and listen to Christian radio, strictly Christian radio. So there's nothing like really secular in our house.
Yeah,
everything is based upon, but like when you take the birds of the year, I mean, he talked about the birds of the year, and he talked about various things. He used examples, Jesus in his teaching. And so my husband and I have incorporated that into not knowing. I mean, I don't believe he was born on December 25th. I think that happened in early Christianity,
right,
around the time of Constantine, when that day was chosen.
But, you know, I've just got to jump in because we got to break. The bottom line of what you said, though, is that every day is sacred to the Lord. I'm glad that part of your Christian radio listening includes the Line of Fire. Glad to be part of the day for you and your husband. The question is, when God looks down at Gail and her husband, does he smile on it? Does he say, how dare you? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Dwight, let's keep the lines open for at least one or two no's.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, our annual Christmas debate. Why do I do it? Well, I do it because people think about these issues. If we're going to go ahead and celebrate Christmas, let's find out why. Let's find out how to do this in a Jesus-glorifying, God-praising way. If we're not going to, let's find out why. Let's find out what's wrong with doing that. And let's find something better to do rather than just having a blank time of the year followed by another blank time of the year with no family traditions of any kind, with nothing sacred in family traditions of any kind. That's one of the great strengths of the religious Jewish community is the calendar. And others that have a strong religious calendar, this is something that gets ingrained in the hearts and minds of children and families. And through that, they have certain roots. Whether the roots are right or wrong is another issue. But they have certain roots. They have certain anchors. They have certain things that they look back to. 866-34-TRUTH. Anne in West Hempstead, where I went to high school, West Hempstead, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, I just
yes.
wanted to explain my experience with Christmas. I'm a Gentile. I joined a mainline denomination in East Meadow. And little by little and step by step, they became very legalistic. And they wanted to go back to the law instead of grace. And they began to go kosher. And they put in baths before they wanted
okay. You're talking about some years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. They went completely off the deep end.
And the denomination, you know, threw them out eventually.
Yeah. Of course. I remember reading about it, following it intimately.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, I belonged to that church. I was born again before I joined it.
Wow.
And it was good in the beginning. I thought it was wonderful. We had
just so our listeners know, Ann, we're not talking about a messianic congregation that preaches
the gospel.
We're talking about a church group that then found an alleged Jewish identity and ended up apostatizing. And then the pastor got revealed as being in some sexual scandal, according to allegations.
In the beginning, they started on Christmas, and you couldn't have a tree and all that sort of thing. And truthfully, they were very, very proud, you know. Very proud. Oh, we're not going to have a tree this year. You know, it was all very, very prideful. And, you know, when I left them, and that wasn't the reason I left them. There were lots of reasons I left them. I can't tell you how happy I was to celebrate Christmas.
Okay,
you know,
why?
Let me play
the devil's advocate. Was it just because this was a family thing you had that got taken away from you?
No. It was, of course, that's part of it. But, you know, just seeing the lights outside reminded me that Jesus is the light of the world. And it's a chance for us to say, hey, look, Jesus. You know, all right, so he wasn't born on that day. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I was so happy to be able to just celebrate his birth and think about him and let other people think about him And I don't know, it gave me a thrill, and I enjoy Christmas every year. I do.
Yeah, and I think that the thing that's important for everyone to hear is if by conviction you say we shouldn't celebrate Christmas, then be sure that there's something else that it's replaced with that glorifies the Lord and is life-giving. Otherwise, you end up having this blank, this void, or in this case, as Ann mentioned, outright deception. Hey, thanks for calling it, and I'm so glad to know that you've gone on with the Lord after an experience like that. Many fell away, never came back. So God bless you, Ann. Thank you. David in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I don't have a problem with Christmas, per se, or the calendar. I think it's great. I think, you know, glorifying Christ at some point and bringing non-believers to the church, I think that's great, even if they are seasonal Christians. But mm-hmm. I do have a problem with Santa Claus. Peter talks about how, you know, Christ isn't a, you know, they didn't preach a cunning, baffling device.
Uh-huh.
And Santa Claus is that. I mean, it didn't start until the 1800s. And that's what
so even if it was originally a positive Saint Nick kind of thing, the fact that there's the Santa Claus myth, and Santa knows whether you've been good or bad or that kind of nonsense, it just shows how the world is always going to take anything that has to do with Jesus, rightly or wrongly, and then try to substitute something else. Hey, David, I doubt that we're going to get anybody calling in to defend Santa Claus or to defend the role that Santa Claus currently has, but thanks at least for raising it against
him. I do want to say this because there are Christian radio stations that play Santa Claus music.
Yeah, okay, all right. I'm jumping in, not because it's not important, but because I'm out of time, but thank you. Why? I'm on Christian radio. All right, I'm on Christian radio, different stations across the country, so I don't know what's played before me or after me in certain cases. And in most of these, it's talk radio, and it's not a lot of music. But thank you, David, for bringing that up. Why? Why? Why on Christian radio do we play Santa Claus songs and Jingle Bells stuff? And if you're going to sing and play a lot of the Christmas carols or songs written about the birth of Jesus that get sung at that time of the year, fine. Okay, do it. But, I mean, you got for like 6 weeks leading up to Christmas, like 6 weeks, sometimes longer. All these Christmas secular songs that just have absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. Well, it's just the time of the year. Well, I don't buy it. That, to me, is mixing the secular with the sacred. So, David, thanks for pushing my button there. I appreciate it. Before I give you my bottom line thoughts here, let me encourage you to be listening tomorrow when I interview Professor Craig Keener on the subject of miracles, miracles today. What does the Bible say? He's written a phenomenal 2-volume work on the subject, and he's going to be on the air to talk with me about it tomorrow. Because of that, we are making available this week my 24-hour class, 16 lectures, hour and a half each, on one CD for your computer MP3 player, with my book, Israel's Divine Healer, which is the only book of its kind, full-length scholarly discussion of God the Healer in the Bible. It's a low price to start for the book and the class, only $50, but this week you can get them together for just $30, postage paid, and really dive into what does the Word say about healing? What's right? What's wrong? What is taught? Is it for today or not? Eye-opening, and then the book will supplement it with tons of information. So call or order, just $30, postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Yeah, if you want to give a Christmas gift, that's a good gift to give. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, number one, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Number two, be fully convinced in your own heart and mind about what you do. Number three, don't get caught up with the spirit of the world in whatever you do. Number four, if you choose not to celebrate Christmas, find a time of the year to glorify Jesus in an appropriate way so that you add rather than take away. Well, Christmas is coming. Is this a holy time of the year, a great season to celebrate the birth of the Savior and to proclaim it to the world? Or is this just a borrowing from paganism and an excuse for materialism and greed?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is time for our annual Christmas debate. Because we get calls and lots of emails at this time of the year dealing with these issues, is it right for believers to celebrate Christmas? Is this just pagan borrowing? Is this something wrong that we should be avoiding? Is this something right that we should be embracing? What is the spirit of the world? Is it for it or against it? I've made it a custom now to every year to have a debate which is totally caller-driven. I weigh in here or there with some of my thoughts, but basically save my thoughts for the end. And this is caller-driven, where you get to weigh in and share your thoughts. Should we celebrate Christmas? Perhaps we should follow a more New Testament biblical pattern and celebrate Hanukkah. Perhaps we should just incorporate the birth of Jesus into one of the holy days already on the biblical calendar. Say, as some would argue, that Jesus was born at the time of Tabernacles, Sukkot, the time when the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. But others say, no, God owns every day of the year. There's no, I don't care what the origins are. We don't have to know when Jesus was born. This is something that the whole world celebrates. Why not use it and have outreach concerts and events and things like that and share the gospel and remind ourselves of the wonder of the day? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Later in the broadcast, I'm going to read again a poem that I read in the first hour that was posted on our Line of Fire website, which is about the most radical anti-Christian poem you could imagine. I also have an article up on Facebook, an article on Town Hall, townhall.com, called Was Christ Ever in Christmas? So if you want to get into debate there with both believers and non-believers, people of faith and people of non-faith, then go over there, ask Dr. Brown. Town Hall. Go to Town Hall. Go to townhall.com. Read the article, Was Christ Ever in Christmas? And then get into the discussion there. Okay, before I go to the phones, I just want to give a little of my own background. You know, I'm Jewish. God saved me a little over 40 years ago. In fact, this past Saturday was the 40th year anniversary. Amazing, very awesome day to me to celebrate the fact that I surrendered to the Lord, that he had mercy and delivered me 40 years ago, December 17th of 1971. But growing up Jewish, if there was ever anything having to do with Christmas or a Christmas tree, it was just purely gift-giving. It has nothing to do with anything religious. That would have been Hanukkah. And then once we got saved, the church in which we were saved did not sing any different songs at that time of the year, did not decorate the building in any way at that time of the year. And if Nancy got saved about 2.5 years after me, also Jewish, if we ever did anything for Christmas, it was just cultural. In other words, if we put a tree up or gave gifts, it was just purely cultural. It had no spiritual significance whatsoever. I remember traveling to preach when I was, 18, 19 years old, and they were taking requests during the service. Anyone have a song they wanted to sing? And one guy, I think a drunk, homeless kind of guy that was in the church, he said, Jingle Bells. He wanted to sing Jingle Bells. I don't think they did. I think they just smiled. But they might have done it just to say, hey, we love you, man. We're reaching out to you in the midst of your ignorance. That doesn't throw us. But is that what Christmas is about? Santa Claus, jingle bells, buying gifts, worldly stuff, December 25th, which is a pagan holiday? Or is it about the birth of Jesus and it's sacred and important to you? You get to weigh in today, 866-34-TRUTH. We will be back with your calls. Let the debate continue.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are continuing our Christmas debate on The Line of Fire today, 866-34-TRUTH. What's your own conviction? What do you feel is right? What do you feel is wrong? On our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, there is a lively discussion taking place there. So that's Ask Dr. Brown for all of you who are on Facebook. If you don't know, normally every day before the broadcast, I post something relevant to the show so that people can get involved online first, and then that ties in with the broadcast. 866-348-7884. To the phones, we will begin with a yes from Manhattan. Anthony, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hello, Michael. I'm not here to challenge you today.
All right, man.
You're a good guy. Got a lot of love in your voice, a lot of caring, and it's nice to talk to you. I think the giving is good in any way, shape, or form. But while I was waiting, now I listened to you on WMCA Radio, Christian Radio in New York City.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, a commercial for Project Angel Tree, where a prisoner found Jesus, has no money, and the radio station is advertising, send money to us so we could send his daughter a Christmas gift. Now, what is that about? I mean, I think it's great, but it goes totally against what you're talking about.
Well, does it if it's... if it's not a materialistic, greedy thing, but simply to say, hey, this is a time of the year when we reach out to family, and it's we've got two times of the year on their birthday, and a time like this, here's a prisoner, and he wants to make the day count. Hey, it could be just the spirit of the world, as some would say, or it could be a wonderful family expression at this time when God gave his son to us. Hey, Anthony, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Before I take other callers here,
yep.
Obviously you are keen on the fact that this has Catholic origins,
yeah.
Christ Mass. Okay.
Right.
Does it bother you that it was borrowed from a pagan holiday, or do you dispute that?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. It's not to lay waste to the Roman Catholic Church, but it's the richest organization in the entire world. Talk about money and material things.
Okay, that's another subject, though.
Okay.
But anyway, all right, tell you what, Anthony, nice to hear from you, buddy. I appreciate it. It's our friend from Manhattan listening on WMCA, 866-34-TRUTH. Joy in Queens, New York, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I think it's interesting, the debate, when God has specifically commanded feasts that are supposed to be celebrated forever, and yet Christmas, which is not commanded, is fiercely debated. However, my point today is that I grew up in a Muslim country with missionary parents.
Mm-hmm.
And every week when we go to the market at Christmas time, we'd hear Christmas music being loudly broadcast all through the area. And through the air, hearing, "Oh, come let us adore him," "Silent Night," all these wonderful Christmas hymns that declare the deity of Yeshua. And I think that God is just a lot bigger than the origins of a holiday, and he's used it to proclaim his name throughout the world, even in countries that fiercely deny the Messiah. And I think that's pretty wonderful.
Yeah, so that's another perspective, regardless of origins or history, regardless of biblical calendar or other things. How is this recognized in the world today? What is it associated with? Does it get out a message of Jesus? Hey, Joy, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Esther in Houston. Thanks for calling. All right, we lost Esther. Let's try Carla in Durham, North Carolina. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Brown, for having this open discussion and not being afraid of the hot-button topics that, a lot of people in the pulpit just refuse to openly talk about. I really appreciate that you do that.
Well, thank you. There's often wisdom in terms of what you talk about from the pulpit or not, but then sometimes people just don't want to tackle controversy. And come on, the discussion's out there. How are we going to avoid it? You know, let's put it on the table and think it through together. If my views aren't strong enough to take your challenge, then there's something wrong with my views. So let's have at it. Go ahead, Carla.
I think that Christmas shouldn't be celebrated. I grew up celebrating Christmas right here in America, and my grandmother's Christian, and she had us, you know, do all the little rituals you do for Christmas, and it was great. And I brought my children up the same way up until about 3 years ago, and I wasn't looking for truth. I wasn't out there, like, you know, wondering anything about Christmas. I was going through what was handed to me from the beginning, you know, like, mm-hmm. say, okay, here's my past, here's my history. I was going through what was given me all my life, and I just believe by grace the Lord allowed me to see at a time when I really wasn't even looking to see, and going into it and actually seeing what I was practicing, where it came from.
So you mean Christmas tree, giving of gifts, Yuletide log, those kinds of things?
The log, everything has, everything, nothing pointed me back to Christ. So to say, oh, this is a good way to use to point to Christ, if it's a lie and it's idolatry, why would, I just say, well, how is that glory to God? His truth stands alone. And
right, so if you're saying, for example, if someone's saying, hey, this is a special time of the year for us, our church uses this for outreach, it's a time when people all around the world recognize that this is a major Christian day, okay, fine. What's that got to do with the Christmas tree, or what's that got to do with the Yuletide log, or what's that got to do with December 25th? That would be your argument.
I think I maybe don't understand exactly what you're saying, but I'll just tell you my argument. My argument is all of this associated with Christmas boils back down to a root of deception and a lie and idolatry. So when you boil it all down back to that, in your heart, how can you take something used to worship another god and put it before God Almighty as a means of worship? And what it is we are so bound to our customs and our tradition, we take it as gospel. We mm-hmm. take our Christmas trees and our lights, and we, as though they were written in Scripture, a lot of, you know what, I have little children. You know, my child was like 10 years old, and I had one that was about 6, I don't know, a couple of years ago anyways. The children, once I broke it down and we just went in and we as a family just really went back into it, they mm-hmm. were fine with letting it go.
But
my coworkers, who are grown people, gave me more heartache and more nasty reactions for not cooperating with their office, you know, parties and this and that and going through the motions with them. I had more backlash from the grown people in my life than the children who I explained to, you know, I believe that honoring God, we don't need to take pagan customs.
Okay.
God.
Hey. Yeah. I'm just going to jump. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry to jump in there, Carl. I want to get to some other callers. I accidentally hit a button prematurely, so I apologize for cutting you off in mid word there. But what do you think of that? Are we taking pagan images and things that were done in the worship of other gods, and now using them to celebrate Jesus? How can that be? Or would you say, well, everything had some pagan association. God's a redeemer. Everything gets redeemed. Or would you say, well, I don't care about those things. That's not what I do on that day. But thanks, Carla, for calling in and sharing that. Let's go to Armando. All right, we lost Armando. Let's go to Scott in Atlanta. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you, Dr. Brown? Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I am I'm absolutely... for Christmas. You had a caller earlier who talked about Angel Tree. I'm a part of a motorcycle ministry called Faith Riders here in Georgia, and this past weekend we delivered gifts to over 300 children whose mothers and fathers are incarcerated.
we don't just take gifts to them. We use it as a tool to tell them the story of Christ. And of those 300 children, probably half of them accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and gain salvation through those efforts. If it wasn't for Christmas and the spirit of Christmas, those are little souls that we wouldn't have in heaven.
And for you, the door that opens up for you is the door specifically associated with this season, with Christmas, and with the giving of gifts. Hey, Scott, thanks for sharing that. That's an amazing testimony. And thanks for reaching out to these kids. But what do you make of that? Pagan or for the glory of God? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just a reminder. What's a reminder? Just a reminder. Townhall.com, my article, just posted, hour or so ago. Was Christ ever in Christmas? We put this debate up for everyone over Town Hall to weigh in and discuss this. I give five reasons we shouldn't celebrate Christmas based on what callers have said over the years, five reasons why we should based on what other callers have said, and just let the debate unfold there. So those that want to weigh in, go to townhall.com. If you want to weigh in on my site, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Many folks would say, look, God gave us a calendar. He gave Israel a calendar. He said the feasts and holy days are forever. He didn't change that in the New Testament. Jesus came to fulfill, not to abolish. So why are we talking about other days? Celebrate the days that we have. You say, well, what about the birth of Jesus? Well, some would say celebrated at Sukkot, Tabernacles. Some would argue, I think it's a very tenuous argument, but some would argue that that's the best time that we can say that Jesus was born, and therefore the best time to celebrate his birth. Others would say, no, this is something worldwide to the glory of God, exalting the name of Jesus. Let's do it the right way. Let's take advantage of it and do it the right way. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to read a poem to you in the next segment, the most radical anti-Christmas poem that I have seen. I'm going to read that to you in the next segment, as well as weigh in on one of my pet peeves. For the most part, I'm withholding my own views until the end of the broadcast, but I do have a pet peeve that came up last hour. I'm going to talk about it again this hour. Before I take a caller in Denver, Colorado, that reminds me, we need to hear from you, pastors and leaders, if you'll be coming to our free leadership luncheon, our Religious Freedoms Under Fire. Speak now or forever hold your peace at Pastor Gino's at Calvary Chapel, Saturday, September 7th. From 11 to 12:30, please call the church to let them know you're coming. We need a head count before the year is out, 303-933-8733. That's 303-933-8733. And again, this is for pastors and their spouses and ministry leaders only for the luncheon, and then for everyone, 1 to 4 in the afternoon. This is a free seminar on the urgent need for a Jesus revolution in society today. It will be eye-opening and practical. And then at night, the night service at 6, Pastor Gino's, I'll be speaking on God's unfinished business with Israel. But again, pastors, if you're going to be coming, leaders, please call the church to let them know. Joe in Denver, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. Hey, at the risk of speaking for him, I'm going to have to say I stand with the Apostle Paul on this issue, in as much as he said, if you're going to esteem one day above another, do it to the glory of God. And those of us who do celebrate Christmas, which I do, at least those of us who celebrate thoughtfully, that's exactly what we're doing. So to my brothers and sisters who don't celebrate Christmas, that's fine, but please don't accuse us of celebrating something paganism. That's not what we're doing. As far as the feasts go, I love the feasts. They point to the Messiah. But, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, we see him going up to Jerusalem to celebrate Hanukkah. Uh-huh. And that was not a prescribed feast.
yet Jesus was celebrating Hanukkah.
Got it. So that was not on the original biblical calendar. That was something that was then added by Jewish tradition, and Jesus had no problem with. But I think, Joe, the biggest point here is that some who say that this is pagan and pagan associations and December 25th is pagan, and then they judge believers who celebrate Christmas, adoring the Lord, celebrating the birth of Jesus, making it a special family time, special time perhaps for outreach or ministry to the poor, that it's wrong for them to judge others. And I think that's a very important thing to take away from this, that Romans 14 is a prevailing principle here, that each one has to be convinced in their own mind. And unless we are doing something that is overtly against God or against the Scriptures, then we have to allow for freedom of expression before the Lord. Hey, Joe, thanks for weighing in on that important point that we need to hold to. 866-34-TRUTH, Armando in Clearwater, Florida, back with you. Hopefully this time we're connected.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Doesn't the Bible say that let no man judge you for days, for celebrating days and new moons? And doesn't the Scripture say that? Is that can we count that as a celebration of Christmas?
I would rather go to Romans 14, which makes clear that one person honors one day especially for the Lord, another treats every day the same before the Lord. I would rather use that where it's talking about not judging. Colossians 2 seems to be going in the other direction, saying don't let anyone put pressure on you to observe a Sabbath or a new moon celebration or something like that. In other words, don't judge people. Well, why aren't you doing this? But the principle, yes, the principle applies, especially from Romans, the 14th chapter. And that, to me, is where it gets dangerous. When we have our own conviction and things that we're convinced of, and now go and apply that to others, or if we have our conviction, say, not to celebrate this, that people then judge us for non-celebration. So that's where we've, in harmony with what Joe just said from Denver, that's where we've got to be very careful. Go ahead.
Can I ask another question? I heard, I think it was on the same station I'm listening to you, they say that the importance of the conception, and which was on the month of December, that Jesus was conceived on December, and he was born in September, on September 25th. But for they were saying that for the Jewish people and other cultures, the conception day is very important. So I would like you to comment on that. I will listen to you on the radio.
Thanks, Armando. Yeah, there may be someone on that station that teaches that. I don't think that is the doctrine of the station. Conception is important, but conception is not celebrated with a special day. A birthday would still be celebrated more than conception. The argument would be, when was Jesus born? Some claim he was born September, October, during what would be the Feast of Tabernacles, but it's speculation. We can be quite sure he wasn't born December 25th. And the question is, well, was December 25th taken over? It was a major pagan holiday, and now taken over for the gospel. Well, if so, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with saying, no, we're not going to have a pagan celebration on this day. Instead, we're going to honor the birth of Jesus. Or is that syncretism, compromise, and mixing spiritual things with worldly things? All right. We have a really excellent offer, resource offer. Tomorrow's broadcast will be Professor Craig Keener talking about his new book on miracles. It's going to be an amazing broadcast, I trust, as we interview Craig for 2 hours. We're making available one of our most important resources, a 24-hour course that I did in 16 lectures on divine healing. Is it for today? Or can we receive these things for today? Is it deception? What does the word actually say? Along with my book, an academic book, Israel's Divine Healer. They're normally discounted to $50 for all of this, but this week you can get them for $30 postage paid. So it's a great deal and a very, very helpful resource on a critically important subject. Call today to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Just ask for the Healer Series. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on this, our annual Christmas debate. I don't know how many years we've done it, maybe three, maybe four. But your time to weigh in as to whether you think it's right and appropriate for followers of Jesus to celebrate Christmas. Is this a sacred time of the year, a great time for church outreach, great family time, great time to recount the gospel stories in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, great time to sing the hymns like Joy to the World and Come Let Us Adore Him, a time when even the world is more open to the gospel? Or is this just another pagan borrowing, the church just borrowing pagan traditions, and then the world coming in with the Christmas trees and the Yuletide logs, all of which have pagan origins, and even December 25th, the celebration of a pagan god, and we've got no business mixing with this, and we've got a biblical calendar to follow. Let's follow that. And this is just a time of materialism and greed. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Join the debate on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or on our radio page, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Now, here's something that does get my attention, which is it seems that the same world that gets very excited about Christmas season and you buy the Christmas trees and you get all the presents and you get in debt doing it, that same world seems to want to disassociate Christ from Christmas. Listen to this recent ad from Rick Perry. It's gotten a lot of flack, but he's airing it in Iowa.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian, but you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school. As president, I'll end Obama's war on religion, and I'll fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage. Faith made America strong. It can make her strong again. I'm Rick Perry, and I approve this message.
All right, so Rick Perry's reminding us that there is opposition to kids in school openly celebrating Christmas, that nativity scenes get removed from government buildings and things like that, that stores want to say Happy Holidays and not Merry Christmas, even though almost all the buyers there are there for Christmas. Does that mean there's something of the world coming against Christmas or the Jesus part of it? On the other hand, a gentleman named Bo, who often posts on our Line of Fire page, posted a Christmas hymn, a mocking one, Baal, the false god of the Canaanites, often pronounced Baal in English. Let me read the poem to you. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Nimrod's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Dagon's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Going with the flow in a pagan sort of way. To the malls we go, not on the narrow way. Bales on everything, we think we're really bright. What fun it is to laugh and sin, not caring what is right. I'm going to skip the choruses, which keep bringing in the names of other gods. My pagan relatives, what will they think of me if I don't go along with churchianity? Traditions of mere men replacing scripture's rules, but what could be the lasting harm of joining in with fools? Then the jingle bells again. Though almost everything in Christmas is from Baal, they have been redeemed, now they're not from hell. I have been set free and now can celebrate the pagan days and rituals my lust to satiate. Then the chorus again. Now do not bother me with scripture quotes and facts. I will not change my mind. I'll follow culture's tracks. The wide road is so smooth. What bliss and peace it hath. Why should I miss all the fun traveling the narrow path? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle the Pope's way. Worshipping in vanity, keeping a Christian day? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle Antichrist's way. Oh, what fun to walk in pride and keep a pagan day. Thanks to Bo posting on our Line of Fire page. Well, what do you think? Time for you to weigh in. Yes or no? Should we celebrate Christmas? Oh, could it be that very Bo that is called in? You're first, sir, after the break.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. I would say the great majority of callers we got in the first hour were saying, yes, we should celebrate Christmas. It's a wonderful time for outreach. It's a time when people are more open to hear about Jesus. We don't get into the greed of it. The tree has no religious meaning to us. It's a time to celebrate his birth. Why shouldn't we do it? And others have objected for various reasons, some saying that pagan origins, we're just borrowing from pagans. Others saying, look at how worldly it is, and that's why the world loves it. Others saying we already have a biblical calendar. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What's your take? Online, askdrbrown.org. Hey, Bo, if I had seen that was you calling in, I would have let you sing your poem there. But thanks for calling, buddy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
So you kind of like that poem enough at least to read it, huh?
I read it in the first hour, and I read it in the second hour. Whether I like it or dislike it, it certainly makes a point. So
I guess that was the point of writing it to start with, was to make a point. So
you wrote that yourself? Did you write that yourself or you?
Yeah, I did. It's to the tune of Jingle Bells, so obviously I didn't write the tune.
All right. Okay. All right. Go for it. Yeah. I know just from some of your posts and asking you some questions recently, you've got a big family, right?
About 9 children at this point. Some of them are in heaven.
All right. And so with your family, have you always believed what you believe now, Bo, or did things change over the years?
They actually changed. You know, I've always, and my wife also, we've always been very serious students of Scripture and wanting to put it into practice and stuff. But it was probably 15 years ago, give or take a little bit, that we really started moving along the line of doing the biblical feasts instead of the paganized or the Christianized pagan ones or whatever you want to call those. And so, you know, some of my children obviously kept Christmas for many years, and a few of them have never done any Christmas things, but they've kept the biblical feasts. So I think my oldest son, he's what, 27? And I think he's very happy that we're doing it this way instead of the other way.
All right. So do you incorporate celebration of the birth of Jesus into one of the biblical holy days, or because it's not commanded there, you don't bother with that?
Well, we don't play it up really big or anything, but we do recognize the fact that he was probably born on Sukkot, probably the first day, and then circumcised on the last great day, you know, thinking that it looks like everything that happened with Messiah happened on one of those appointed times of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. And then the whole idea of him tabernacling among us, John 1:14, would fit with the idea of tabernacles.
Right, and it just seems to fit a little bit too good to not be true, but I couldn't, you know, make an absolute case for it, but pretty good.
All right, and one other question for you, Bo.
Okay.
There is, among many that would go the way of celebrating the biblical holy days and observing Sabbath and those kind of things, and we've had our differences when I've been able to interact with you about saying that it's mandatory to observe Torah and so on, but we're not getting in that discussion right now. There are many beautiful, wonderful hymns that have been written in church history. There have been ones celebrating the birth of Jesus, Joy to the World, and ones that we sing at this time of the year, O Come, Let Us Adore Him, whenever they were written or for whatever time they were written. Do you still incorporate some of the beautiful hymns that God's given his people through the centuries, or is somehow that too churchy for you?
Well, it's not necessarily too churchy. We do sing some hymns, at least on occasion. I'm just not much of a hymn sort of guy. My wife grew up in a Baptist church, and she could probably play every hymn in the book pretty well. Mm-hmm. I kind of grew up as a pagan, and the only thing I can really play is the new choruses, you know, starting about the time of the mid-70s or so and on. So, and I'm usually the one that's, you know, playing the piano and leading worship, so we don't usually do a lot of hymns. But I like, you know, a lot of the quote-unquote Christian carols or Christmas carols, whatever you want to call those. I still don't know if he was born at night or in the morning or what, according to those carols, but but I guess poetic license gives us a little bit of leeway. Otherwise, I don't think I could have written the one that I wrote. So,
yeah, I would say there's little poetic license. So just last question, since you wrote that I read, you've got every god plus Antichrist. You've got everything from Vishnu to Baal to Antichrist to Pope. Do you think you may have overdone it a little bit?
I wouldn't exactly call it overdone, but I think it was called very intense. I think all those different deities, basically down through the ages, have been worshipped in some sort of the way, some sort or the other. I mean, in the in the Yuletide sort of thing, it seems like almost every pagan deity's birthday is December 25th for some reason or the other, and I don't know why that is, but I just can't imagine that the real one was born on that day.
All right. Hey, listen, man, I appreciate you weighing in as I encourage you to call today. I spotted your name too late after I'd recited the poem. So maybe next year, God willing, if we're all here, you can sing it for us next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't
right?
sing the whole thing, but I, you know, whatever.
All right. God bless you, man. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I received a call in the first hour from a gentleman in New York who said, tell me one day of the week that was not devoted to pagan worship, to worship of some false god. And he just reminded us of every day of the week and whatever association it had with some pagan god. Does that mean that we don't take those days and redeem them now for the Lord? And in fact, didn't every day on the calendar belong to the Lord as part of his good creation? And then it gets hijacked by Satan. You know, it reminds me of what William Booth said about music, William Booth with the Salvation Army, because they would take tunes that were pagan tunes and write gospel songs for them and then sing them marching down the streets, and people in the bars used to drinking to those tunes would hear the melodies, but with different words. And he said, Satan doesn't own any of the notes on the scale. Everyone belongs to God. If Satan took any, we'll take them back. So some would say, well, yeah, of course, there are all kinds of pagan origins with December 25th, which is why it got reclaimed. That'd be the argument back, but appreciate Bo weighing in there and writing that poem, 866-34-TRUTH. Ben in Atlanta. All right, we had Ben in Atlanta and lost him. We got a call earlier. Some of you may have heard it from a gentleman involved with the ministry that reaches out to kids. They've got parents in prison and things like that, and here are underprivileged kids, and there's a fund so that you can get Christmas gifts for these kids, and they go share the love of Jesus with them and tell them the good news that Jesus came into the world and give these kids gifts, and a great number of them come to faith in Jesus. Someone else called earlier today and said, you know, when I'm witnessing on the streets, difficult for people to talk about Jesus, try to give them a track, try to interact with them, meet strangers. They don't want to talk, but at this time of the year, they're very open to hear about Jesus. Is that because this is a diluted, watered-down Jesus? Or is it because there's something about the time of the year that is sacred? By the way, if you heard the sound of thunder suddenly, that was not the sound of thunder. That was the sound of my hand hitting the side of a mic. We have a new attachment on it that makes it a little bit bigger, and a couple of times I have hit it. So it wasn't thunder. So was that a sign, what he was talking about? No. It's just I knocked the side of the mic here. Jared and Cornelius, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Jared.
Yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, is it a 5-second delay, so you have room to edit? Is that correct? I'm in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. If we are still talking about the Bible or pagades, either or, am I still here?
All right, Jared, I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. So if you were calling in to discuss whether we should celebrate Christmas or not, just have a quick discussion with Dwight. He'll get back to you in a moment. I want to just weigh in one pet peeve that I have. Someone brought it up last hour, and I kind of reserve my own view on this till the end. But I have a pet peeve, so I'm going to weigh in on it. I listen mainly to talk radio when I listen to radio. That's probably one reason that I do talk radio. And sometimes I'll listen to a Christian station that plays music, but normally I'm listening to talk, to preaching, or to talk radio. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand why Christian stations, for weeks and weeks and weeks leading up to Christmas, don't just play what are called Christmas hymns or hymns celebrating the birth of Jesus or that kind of thing, but secular Christmas songs. I mean, things that have absolutely nothing to do with Jesus, nothing to do with his birth, nothing to do with the celebration of the Savior. Zero. Zilch, as they say. Just secular songs, Christmas songs. Like, what? Who says we're supposed to do that? Well, I like this time of the season. I'd like it. If you're going to like it in a sacred way. Okay? If you want to like it in a sacred way, or like it in a totally secular way. Yeah, I just like it, especially if it's snowing and so on, and we go to the ice park and skate. Okay, fine. It's got nothing to do with Jesus then. Fine. But why? Please, somebody tell me why. If you are a Christian host on a Christian music station, please tell me why you play all kinds of secular Christmas music. We'll be back with your calls.
Of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's get to a few more calls on whether Christians should celebrate Christmas or not. Then I'll weigh in with my own perspective. Michael in Florida, how do you pronounce your city there?
Dunedin.
Dunedin. All right. Well, thanks. What's your take, sir?
My take is, for many years, I used to worry about, in back of my mind, what day was Christ born? Are we doing it on the right day or whatever? But I have turned myself around some time back, and I celebrate the birth of Christ every day. I agree Christmas is lost true meaning of it in all of what's going on in the world commercially and secular or whatever. I don't believe it's being celebrated for what it actually is. But I believe that whenever you celebrate it, it's where it's coming from in your heart, how you celebrate it, and the real reason you are thankful or grateful or celebratory. I think that's what matters.
Right. So it's the condition of the heart, and it's between the believer and God, and God's not hung up on some of these other things that we get hung up on.
I can't speak for God, but that's what
that's,
come
that's
upon
your
me
take.
Think
yep
about it nowadays through prayer and what have you, and just meditation on it.
Got it. All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. By the way, our friend Jared was a bit out there. We don't know why he was angry and questioning my credentials. Do I? Yeah, this is the day to question my credentials. Do I have the right to host a debate as to whether we should celebrate Christmas? Can I tell you something? Any human being on the planet can host a debate about whether we should celebrate Christmas or not. God bless you, Jared, and I hope you find the God that you need to find and realize his love. And whatever you think about Christmas, I hope you learn the significance of Jesus coming into the world. Nikki in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, glad to be with you guys today. Just wanted to say, when I was growing up, you know, my mom, she always celebrated Christmas. We never went to church. And that was a great thing. But, you know, as I matured, got older, started having kids of my own, you know, we started doing things a little differently. You know, we tried to bring Christ into the picture, which was very hard. You know, not, you know, having a lot of the family doing what we were doing. It was just very, very difficult. But my kids, they still struggle with it. You know, they say, like, okay, well, Mommy, that's okay. You're not going to buy us a whole lot of toys, but Grandma's going to do it. So, you know, other people were still giving to them and giving, you know, just, because they were my kids and grandkids and that type of thing. But anyway, the thing that really upset me is the fact that the school system, they have taken Christ out of the picture totally. The kids don't pray. They don't give honor to Christ. And it's his birthday. They still celebrate, like, winter holidays or whatever. They sing Christmas.
Yep. Well, not only that, they celebrate gay and lesbian activism. They've got yeah posters up and celebrating this or that, but to celebrate Christmas in the schools is alleged violation of church and state, which makes you wonder.
Yeah. And I've seen music teachers take those traditional Christian Christmas songs and take Christ out of it and put other fun words in there. So it, yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Just
so what,
the
what's
crowd
the issue with that? Obviously the world has a problem with Jesus, but the fact that mm-hmm Christmas comes under attack, does that mean that Jesus really is associated with Christmas. Hey, Nikki, thanks for weighing in and raising that again. Grace in St. Petersburg, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. When I was a little girl, Christmas meant so much to me because I got saved when I was 12, and it began to take on a new meaning to me. And I began to wonder, you know, we sing the Christmas carols and all of the song that centers around the birth of Christ, but all of the other Christmas carols that has a secular kind of connotation doesn't mean much of anything, but it kind of reflects back on what happened so many thousands of years ago. And oftentimes we need to be reminded of that because we're caught up in our problems, we're caught up in the different situations that come across our path in our daily life, that we don't take the time to reflect back on what God has done. So this is one of those times when we take time to share. Now, I remember a dear prayer partner friend of ours invited me and another friend to her house because we wanted to try to share the message of Christmas with her brother because she had tried at every other time, but it didn't seem to stick. So it was a time and an occasion for us to share what Christmas meant to us and what really happened, the fact that we did make room in our hearts for him.
Yeah.
And he was beginning to take it all in.
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone, I mentioned this a few minutes ago, but called in the first hour and said that when he tries to witness to the lost at different times of the year and talk about Jesus, there's more resistance at this time of the year. They're more open to hear about this Jesus. Hey, Grace, thanks for weighing in with that testimony. I appreciate it. Let me make a few comments, all right? First, separate some of the trappings from the question of the celebration of Jesus' birth, okay? Separate Christmas tree, Yuletide logs, all those things. If that's a separate fun family thing and you don't worry about it being idolatrous, and it's got nothing to do with the birth of Jesus and so on, well, whatever. You have a Thanksgiving meal. You can do other things that are purely cultural, that have no religion. Well, there may be, of course, religious background to Thanksgiving as well. But, you know, July 4th or whatever. You may do certain things. You may enjoy the tradition of a Christmas tree or whatever. As long as it's not a religious thing to you, then that's a separate issue. However, if it is a spiritual thing for you, everyone has to work this out between them and God. There are plenty of Jewish believers that always feel uncomfortable at this time of the year because it strikes them as just being very churchy or different or contrary. And don't expect people to just enter in. And if you've come to convictions that we just celebrate the holy days that are already given in Scripture, and whatever we do has to revolve around that, then do that as unto the Lord. Romans 14 is quite explicit on this. And if you instead are worshiping the Lord, be it at Christmas time or be it a different way, work it out between you and God without judging or condemning others. And if you take away this time of the year, say, hey, we just don't believe in this, don't get into the materialism and greed by all means. But if you say, now we don't do this anymore, okay, find another time to take whatever is sacred at this time of the year, be it the hymns, be it the rereading of these accounts of Scripture, and incorporate that so that you don't lose by, quote, getting away from idolatry. Hey, friends, tomorrow I interview Craig Keener on his book, Miracles. Today we want to offer to you my entire series, 24 hours of teaching and 16 lectures on healing. Is healing for today? Does God still heal? What does Scripture say? What are pitfalls? What's the vocabulary of healing? Laying it out with my book, Israel's Divine Healer, which is a massive detailed book on this, and the class is really practical. It normally sells for a reduced price of $50 together. It's just $30, and we'll pay the postage this week. So it's a great resource at a great price. Call today to order, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, whatever you do or don't do with Christmas, let us stand back in awe and recognize that God sent his Son into the world to save us from our filth, from our sin, from our destruction, to take our place that we might join with him forever. Joy to the world.